your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to Alchemy. Very excited to welcome my good friend, Jay Livingston, Chief Marketing Officer at Shake Shack. Jay, great to have you back on the show.
Jeff, great to be here.
Excited to have you on today. For everybody who's listening right now and doesn't know Jay, Jay is the absolute man. He's a legend. Previously, he was the Chief Marketing Officer of Bark, and also he was the SVP of Global Marketing at Bank of America. So very deep roots, in the banking world, deep roots on the marketing side, and of course, also doing a lot of angel investing as well. But, Jay, maybe kick us off and, give us the 411. You're working on a lot of things when it comes to, brand marketing and growth marketing and delivery partnerships. And, talk to us a little bit about how everything's been in the world of Shake Shack.
Well, it's been a wild year for us, as it has for so many people in COVID, especially in the hospitality industry. And
sure. A
lot of our year has been, first of all, adapting to what happened immediately in front of us with COVID and, having sales drop 85% in 2 weeks and going through that process of furloughing teammates and trying to just make sure everybody was safe and that we knew what was going on, right? Which was, we're already forgetting what a wild time that was, where a lot of people didn't even know from a personal safety standpoint what the future held for them and how to think about this disease and so forth. And so we moved quickly from that to trying to adapt to that environment, like a lot of folks. And we did things like double down on our digital investing and in our app and the web and delivery partners. We got rid of an exclusive relationship and opened up a relationship with all of our delivery partners. We changed the way we did everything from outdoor dining to, pickup and curbside. And then I think we've shifted to a more interesting place in the last several months, which has been, so what are the long-term implications that COVID either accelerated or are here to stay that are changes, and how do we need to kind of build our approach to suit that?
Yeah. So Jay, just kind of talking a little bit about COVID. So obviously, COVID hit, in March really of last year, and especially for the food and beverage space, like just very scary as far as, closing doors and having to pivot strategies. What was it that you guys were thinking, as, time went on, let's just say weeks, and you had to really think about how do we continue the business? How do we shift our model to delivery? Like, one, were you guys nervous? Like, were you scared about this whole movement? Because I know at least in the cannabis space, a lot of people were scared for them because, they didn't know if their doors were going to actually shutter completely.
Absolutely. I mean, within 2 weeks, and we were in national news because somehow Shake Shack, who had applied for the PPP loan, right? We got a tremendous amount of what ended up, actually, we did not get a lot of pressure, but we were so sort of nervous about what our cash flow situation was going to be in those first few weeks that when we applied for that loan and got it, it was never even a consideration that we wouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. Because we needed the cash and we didn't know what the public markets were going to look like. Our stock dropped to the floor and we were in just survival mode. And then, things did start to pop back up a little bit on the public markets and we realized, all right, we don't think we're going to go out of business and we're going to be able to access some more capital. And we quickly said, we actually think we can give this back. Because we also had not realized that, there was a limited amount for other restaurants. And so it's funny that the story has sort of become like we gave that back under pressure. We actually weren't under pressure when we gave it back. I think it started a lot of pressure to a lot of other restaurants and a lot of other companies that had taken it. But we took it with all the best intentions, which is we wanted to keep people employed and we were terrified about the future.
Sure.
So we were very much in that kind of survival mode. And then as we got through that and realized, okay, we were able to get some more money on the balance sheet and feel good about that, it shifted very quickly to what can we do to adapt to this, both for the safety of our shacks and our teammates, and then also for our guests, and how do we get Shake Shack to them in a way that they feel good about? And so we, like I said, we opened it up to multiple delivery partners that we started working very closely with. We doubled down on the app and web ordering. We launched curbside pickup, which we had never had before. You know, Shake Shack doesn't have drive-throughs to this point, although we're working on those now. Mm-hmm. But we needed a better way for people to just pull up in their cars and get delivered the food right out to their window. So we launched that at almost 70 shacks up and running. We got outdoor dining put all over the place. And then, of course, all the procedures within the shack. So, I mean, it was a wild time where it was really falling back on just being adaptive to the situation and figuring out how to react.
Yeah, I think a lot of brands, you know, that went through this in all sorts of different capacities, learned a lot, came out of it, you know, stronger, and, you know, have you really put together some amazing best practices for the future. You know, I was pretty excited on the fact that you were coming on the show, just because, you know, about, I don't know, it was last month, we obviously know 420 was going on, and there's a ton of brands that have taken part this year. And I saw a really cool piece of creative that you guys did, and I'm like, oh, I got to get Jay on the show. So, you know, I think, you know, a lot of traditional brands have obviously participated in 420 in the past. And, you know, I think this year alone, not just QSR brands in particular, but you've got, like, you know, Adidas and Hotels.com and, you know, Harmless Harvest and all of these brands where, you know, they weren't taking part in the conversation last year or the year before, but this year with legalization, you see a lot of traditional brands kind of coming to the forefront. So, you know, I particularly thought it was cool that I saw the, you know, the program that you teamed up with for Postmates and Action Bronson. And so I'm just curious what was going through, you know, your heads, and what was the strategy, you know, for Shake Shack to really tap into that moment?
Well, one is we love partnering with really cool, interesting creators in the world that are also passionate about food. And, you know, we're lucky that a lot of those folks are actually passionate about Shake Shack and have sometimes been vocal about that on their social media and in other places. And we love reaching out to them to engage. We just did an awesome thing with Benny Blanco, who's, you know, Justin Bieber's producer and a lot of famous people's producer. And we just did a collab with them before that. So we love folks like that, that are kind of on the edge of culture in that way. And we were talking with Postmates, who are great marketers too, about, could we do something for 420? Because we get a lot of interest of people in that community that say Shake Shack is their favorite food. Right. Like, yeah, they just absolutely love our food. And we've always thought, like, how do we kind of start to engage with that community a little bit more? And so we were talking about names, and Action Bronson came up. And, you know, he's this interesting combination where obviously he's known to be like a huge fan of weed, but is also a huge food guy. Mm-hmm. And he loves Shake Shack and had talked about Shake Shack in the past. So we kind of reached out and just said together, how could we do something together? He said, hey, I have this book that's coming out. I'd love to kind of promote that. And we said, why don't we try this light double? You know, we have a smoke shack on our menu. Mm-hmm. Let's try to do a double smoke shack and do a whole promo. We'll let you kind of help us craft what that looks like and learn from each other. And that's exactly what we did. So we did that short promotion. We did this awesome video for people that haven't seen it. Of him, you know, unwrapping the burger that he helped create for us for that weekend. And we put it on Postmates. And, you know, I think it was both this awesome promotion at a micro level, but at a macro level, society's attitude has changed so much to sort of like cannabis in general.
Sure.
And we want to be part of those things that are happening there. And our team is interested in that. And so we basically said, you know, this thing is becoming legal everywhere. So we don't need to be hesitant about, I mean, it's, we got to ease our way into it, but we don't need to be so scared and hesitant to talk about it and engage with it. And so that's something we've leaned more into, and we've gotten almost universally positive feedback from it.
Totally. Well, I think, you know, just kind of your previous stomping grounds too, like BarkBox has kind of, you know, they participated in years past. And I know this year they did all sorts of, you know, really fun, you know, like super chewer goodies with like, you know, weed themed toys, which I thought was kind of fun. But, you know, on the QSR side, Jimmy John's, they came out and did something. Denny's came out and did something. So just from like a marketing standpoint, I thought that was pretty cool that we saw a lot of players that have kind of been on the sidelines in the past. And this year, and especially with New York and New Jersey and the tri-state coming on board for legalization, it's like everybody's kind of chattering about it. So kudos to you for stepping up and taking part that, you know, obviously it's a conversation that people want to have, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So and it's a subculture that's also just super interesting to participate in. And we kind of love that. That kind of speaks to who we are.
Totally. And I think, you know, I did see the news about your, you know, the nationwide partnership with Uber Eats. And I know you guys had a couple of pilots in Miami and New York, and kind of interesting too, because we're doing quite a bit with Uber Eats right now, where they're literally utilizing our cannabis data, you know, to drive, you know, more people who happen to be hungry at that moment. So there's probably some cross section marketing that's happening there now, but talk to us a little bit about the rollout and what you guys were kind of thinking with the delivery service, you know, through the app.
Yeah. So one thing COVID certainly accelerated is something we had planned to do, which is launch delivery straight from the Shake Shack app and our website. And COVID accelerated that, right? So we put a lot more money and effort behind getting that up and going. And Uber Eats is who we decided to partner with, that basically white labels that and handles fulfillment straight from the app. And it's been a huge success for us. We have basically increased app downloads by about 230% over the course of the year. A lot of folks are starting to get delivery straight from the app, and it's just a way for us to keep those guests within the Shake Shack ecosystem. We get better data from them. We're able to start to think about what will a loyalty program look like for them. How do we get them sort of involved in cooler things that we're doing? And so it's been a big thing for us, and we're going to continue to evolve it. We're rolling it out for Android and for web coming up.
Cool. So as far as, you know, food is concerned, any exciting new things that you guys have added to the menu, any things that you're changing?
We got a bunch of exciting things coming up, so which I cannot talk about just yet.
Top secret.
I love our calendar for the rest of the year. I tasted a bunch of things in our innovation kitchen just 2 days ago that I'm like, one of which is the best thing I've ever tasted at Shake Shack.
Wow. And
that's going to come out over the holiday season. But, you know, we've added bacon avocado to our burgers and chicken sandwiches as an option. And that's been really successful over the last like month. And that's going to continue to go on here over the next few weeks. And then, we move into some really interesting shakes and burger and sandwich options coming up that, you know, I'll tell you about when I can.
Cool. Well, I feel like, you know, especially now, they just this past week, obviously the CDC has, you know, come out and said, hey, you know, mask mandates now are not, you don't need a mask if you've been vaccinated. So I was out to dinner last night and I walked in. I was busy all day and I did see it kind of come across my desk, but I didn't really read too much into it. And I went out to dinner and, you know, the hostess wasn't wearing a mask and none of the servers were wearing a mask. And I was like, oh, wow, that was fast. Like, you know, it came out yesterday and literally everybody's got a mask off. And I just thought, wow, it kind of felt like the first time of normal, whatever normal is, you know, in a year. So I feel like that's going to be really good for business for you guys, you know, with everybody kind of coming back out and reemerging.
It will be. I don't know if you saw, we've been like all over the news as of last night and today, because we announced that in New York City, we're providing basically free fries with any purchase for folks that show their vaccine card at any Shake Shack. And that's going to go on for 30 days. And we're also giving out vouchers out of the vaccine trucks that are going around the city in all sorts of areas in some disadvantaged neighborhoods where if you get vaccinated, you get a free coupon for a free sandwich at Shake Shack. And it was on, it's funny when we do stuff like this. So last night, we're just looking, it was on Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Trevor Noah. They were all talking about it on their shows. It got coverage at over 108 publications just as of last night. And we've had a ton of people coming into the shacks the last 12 hours. So that's been kind of fun to do.
Well, that'll be interesting to see the data from that on, you know, surges. Mm-hmm. So Jay, I want to shift gears just a little bit because, you know, and I know this from knowing you for many years, but you also have, you know, quite a bit of interest on the investing side too. So, you know, curious on your kind of lens, like what are you out there looking at? What are some of the sectors that you like playing in?
Yeah, I've loved being an angel investor since back in my days at Bank of America when it started when I moved to New York about 13 years ago. It's such a great way to stay close to these cutting edge businesses and the founders that are, you know, out there pushing the boundaries, whether it be marketing or whether it be just be the general areas they're working on. So I love having a foot in that world. It's been such a and skin in the game. It's been such an asset for me personally, career wise, but also helping, you know, places like BarkBox and Shake Shack, the place I work in, to employ a lot of the things you kind of learn by investing in those businesses. I just invested in a couple of different businesses that are sort of on the cutting edge of food, which we're excited about. What is called Artemis, which is a basically cultured meat business that down the road is going to, I think, do incredible things when it comes to cultured meat. And love staying close to that space, right? Because whether it's meat alternatives like Impossible or Beyond or cultured meat, et cetera, I'm really interested in sustainable agriculture and sustainable, basically, farming of all kinds. So keeping a close eye on that space and the restaurant side. I'm also a bit of an opportunist when it comes to angel investing. I just like to have a foot in a lot of different types of spaces and businesses because I kind of think that's how you can learn and apply it to your own industry. And so, you know, I'm in a business called Florida Mall, which is lingerie and ready-to-wear. And I learned a ton about sort of retailing on apparel and fashion through that. I've been in that since the beginning. It's over 7 or 8 years ago. I recently invested in a business called Social Studies that is sort of a party rental business. And I really love the founders there. So there's so many like interesting things that I just love to like keep my foot in and look and see under the hood of what these guys have going on with those companies.
I love it. One thing I did want to bring up today also, that a few of my West Coast friends had mentioned this the other day, but news to me, but you guys opened up a Shake Shack at Dodger Stadium.
That's correct.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we've got a great, you know, we've always been big. So the third, Kate may have to correct me on this, but the third Shack ever, I believe, was at Citi Field, which was a big deal at the time. So it was before they were putting sort of more interesting vendors in these stadiums. You know, back in the day, it's like you got they had the hot dog vendors that were kind of stadium run at all the places. And that became a huge draw at Citi Field. And so we've got a long history of being in a lot of cool stadiums and arenas. And Dodger Stadium is the most recent. It's just like such an iconic place.
Totally.
And we love baseball. We love being a part of that. And so, yeah, we were excited that we could make that happen. And it was interesting. It was in the LA Times today. They were giving the Dodgers a little bit of grief of not going with a hometown, what they viewed as the hometown restaurant In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers are remaining mum on that for now because probably they don't want to step into that whole thing. But, you know, we've got a huge presence on the West Coast and are growing it a ton. And we'll continue to sort of do that out there. And that's a good example of it.
I love it. You guys also did a special Shake Shack shrimp burger for like one day. And so I'm just curious about how you guys came up with that one and, you know, how'd it go?
Yeah, we have a collab series going right now called Now Serving. And we've done collabs with, you know, super famous and up and coming chefs for years, practically since the very beginning of Shake Shack. It's kind of harkens to our roots in fine dining. You know, we came out of basically 11 Madison Park, and
right.
Our food is basically a fine dining burger in a casual environment. And so we love partnering with these chefs. And so Now Serving has done a bunch of them. We just worked with a great chef in Atlanta, African-American chef that runs a business called The Slutty Vegan. Wow. That we did a collab down there and are going to do one at our Harlem Shack with her again soon.
Fun.
And then we've got the shrimp burger with the chef that basically started Atomix and Attaboy. And Atomix is kind of a super high-end fine dining restaurant that we love. And we loved his sort of take on Asian food. And so we decided to partner with a creation that he and our chef thought was really interesting. And that ended up as a shrimp burger. So sold out by noon. We had a line at Madison Square Park, like around the park, of people waiting for it. And we just love doing that. It's kind of like the angel investing. You just learn a lot by working with these like world-class chefs. And occasionally those things end up on our menu in a broader way.
I think it's great. I think it's a great way for you to really, you know, stay connected to the culinary world and, you know, work with all these upcoming chefs. I think it's pretty awesome. Well, this has been great, Jay, and it's been it's always nice catching up with you. But also, kudos to you and the team on really great, you know, program over 420 and all the great things that you guys are doing. And you know, keep up the great work. And obviously, excited things are opening back up and things coming, you know, full swing back to normal.
Well, thanks, Jeff, and I appreciate you having me on. I love the stuff that you guys are doing. It's super edgy too, and we think you know, I think you're going to be very successful in this. So excited to stay in touch about it.
It's been fun, I'll tell you that much. Awesome. Well, Jay Livingston, Chief Marketing Officer at Shake Shack, thanks again for coming on the show.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.